Good morning. It's nice to see everyone out this morning. So I wonder if you've noticed over the last days, weeks, or months that some people they're worried, they're panicked, they're, quote, freaking out over the situation in the world right now. They're just anxious and they're not at peace. Then there's others who seem calm, cool, collected. They're not worried about too much. They're not anxious. They're at peace. Is there some secret to this? Is there something that some people know that others don't? Well, this lesson is meant to be just a very basic and simple reminder about how God is in control and He has given us instructions on how we can find peace, and hopefully we find this encouraging. So this was our passage from the scripture reading this morning, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. So you'll notice, starting out in verse 4, first thing it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." You know, this word "always" here means always. You know, no matter what is going on in the world, we are to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, even during a worldwide pandemic. Doesn't matter what is going on, there are always good things to focus on, and God has told us to rejoice in those. We go down to verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The instruction here is be anxious for nothing. There's no caveat here for it's okay to be anxious if a virus takes over the world, or it's okay to be anxious if you're worried about the economy or losing your job. I mean, the instruction is be anxious for nothing. We can't let earthly events take away our peace. And thankfully, God didn't just tell us don't be anxious and leave it at that. He's given us very specific instructions on what we can do so that we're not anxious. He tells us, "By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." If we find ourselves feeling anxious or not at peace, we have the avenue of prayer always, where we can talk to God, we can let Him know what's on our mind. And it says we're to do this with thanksgiving. So even when we have requests, you know, we're still told here to give thanks to God for the good things. Give thanks to God for the blessings He's given us. And if we're giving thanks while letting Him know what's on our mind, it helps remind us of all the good things in the world. And, you know, we are told we can tell God our requests. If we find ourselves feeling anxious or in need of some peace, we can tell that to God, and He knows what to do for us. Then down in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So this tells us about the peace of God. It tells us that it surpasses all understanding. You know, something that I've noticed over the last little while, you know, those who are panicked over this, they look at those of us who are peaceful through all this. They look at us like there's something wrong with us. Why aren't you worried about this? Why aren't you so concerned? You know, what's wrong with you? Well, they don't understand that we have the peace of God with us. And it also tells us that this peace of God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that once we have this peace of God, it will guard our hearts and minds, and it will help us to hang on to that peace and to not be anxious and fearful. We continue on in verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You know, we're told exactly what we should be thinking about. You know, we shouldn't spend our time focusing on, you know, some virus or the economy or anything else. We're given a list here of things to focus on. And if we spend our time focusing on the things that are just and lovely and pure and good, there's not going to be much time left to focus on the negative. And then lastly, in verse 9, it says, "The things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, Jesus set an example for us, so did the other Christians in the Bible, about what we need to do. And if we spend our time focusing on the good, we follow that pattern, we will have peace. So we've got a few more passages on peace. Let's turn over to John chapter 16. We'll read verses 31 through 33. John 16, starting in verse 31. "Jesus answered them, 'Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.'" Now, in context, you know, this passage is talking about persecution, but doesn't this sound an awful lot like what's going on today? You will be scattered, each to his own, leave me alone. You know, some things this current state of the world has done is tried to keep people separate, and in some cases for good reason, but even when we have to kind of keep to our own homes, we're never alone. We've got God and Jesus with us. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10. We'll read verses 27 through 31. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 27. "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. But do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So this is another verse. In the context, it's certainly talking about a physical persecution, but I believe the thought here still applies, that we're not to fear things that can kill the body. You know, the worst thing this virus can do to anyone who's a faithful Christian is kill the body and send the soul to heaven. And is that really that bad of a thing? Not really. We shouldn't fear this virus and the effect it has on the body. Instead, we are to fear God. You know, God's the one who has the control over both our body and our soul. It's him that we need to fear. This verse also goes on to talk about the sparrows. So out at our house, I've noticed, an awful lot more birds around this year. I don't know if it's just me, just my perception, if it's just being home more, but it just seems like there's birds everywhere. And earlier this week, there was a little baby bird had fallen out of the nest, and the kids found it, and they tried to take care of it, but it ended up dying before the end of the day. But, you know, I think about, you know, just the birds at our house, just a small, tiny fraction of the birds in the entire world, but yet, you know, Jesus tells us here that that one baby bird that fell to the ground and died at our house didn't do it without it being a part of God's will. And we're of much more value than those sparrows. And I think we could honestly say that Nobody in the world gets infected with this virus apart from God's will. I mean, he's in control of all of this. Anything that happens, happens by his will. And we can trust in God that he's got our best interests in mind. Next, we'll turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we'll read verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I want to focus here on verse 15. Notice how it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It almost makes it sound like we just have to give it permission. It's going to happen. We just have to let it. And if we would just let ourselves have the peace of God, we'll be so much better off. Next, we'll look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verses 6 through 11. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So this verse, this passage, warns about being carnally minded. You know, we're not to focus on things that are carnal. We're to focus on things that are spiritual. You know, this virus is just a carnal thing. It's nothing that we should be spending much time worried about. We should stay focused on the spiritual. Next, we'll look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, across the country right now, there's a lot of governors making a lot of decisions about what is legal or illegal, or essential or non-essential, as they like to call it. And in some states, they've made it illegal to assemble together as a church on Sunday. But one thing that they cannot make a law against is these things here that are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You know, man can make rules on this earth about whatever they want, but these good things here that God has given us, nobody can make a law against those. Next, we're going to look at a passage here in Matthew that talks about worry and how worrying about any situation just doesn't do any good. So we'll look at Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So it starts out telling us not to worry about our life, what we will eat. You know, we don't have to worry about empty grocery store shelves because God is going to take care of us. You know, we look in verse 26 and it talks about the birds of the air. Our Heavenly Father makes sure the birds of the air are fed. We're of more value than them. You know, despite whatever is going on in the world, God's going to make sure that we're taken care of. So then, verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? Nobody ever made themselves 1 inch taller by worrying. Nobody ever kept themselves from getting infected with a virus by worrying. Nobody ever kept themselves from being unemployed by worrying. Worrying is just a waste of time and energy. It doesn't solve anything. If something's within our control, we should do everything we can to control it. If something's out of our control, there's nothing we can do about it, and worrying about it doesn't change anything anyway. Then, let me find it. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Okay, that's down in verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So the previous verses mention food and drink and clothing, and it tells us that God is aware of what we need, and he will make sure we are taken care of. Verse 33, we're told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we put our time and effort into focusing on God and seeking him first, then all of these things shall be added to you. And which things are that will be added to us? Well, it's the things mentioned in the previous verses, the things that we need, food, drink, and clothing. If we're seeking God first, we're going to be taken care of. Down in verse 34, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now here's a verse that really hit home with me over the last month or so. You know, for a while it seemed like every single day some new part of normal life was going away, being taken away from you. And it just got to a point where there's no point in even worrying about what they're going to do tomorrow. I mean, whatever they announce today is enough to take in. So sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Definitely hit home with me. You know, let's focus on the things in front of us today. What can we do about them today? And as long as we're keeping God first, we don't really have anything to worry about. So that's the lesson for this morning. We talked about having peace, trusting in God for Him to take care of us. But this peace is really only available for those who are, you know, faithful children of His. If we're not a faithful child of God, we can't have peace and we shouldn't have peace. We do have some things we need to be worried about. If there's anyone here this morning who doesn't have peace, either because they're not a Christian or because we're not focusing on the right things, then please let us know how we can help you as we stand and sing.